Chapter 11, East Village. I can't believe that there are 73 elevators in the Empire State Building, and the one we get on is not for tourists, but for tenants. And when we stopped it, we were nearly arrested, said Tony, as they exited the building. Oh, we never even made it all the way to the top. Yeah, it stinks, said Anna, that the kids have to be with an adult to go to the observation deck. But maybe Mr. D can take us later. We still have the tickets. The top? Who cares? At least we made it out of there alive, and I didn't explode and flood the whole building, said Mo. He paused and sniffed the air. Hey, what's that smell? Tony pointed to a vendor car on the sidewalk. Street hot dogs, my man. I'm starving. Let's get a dog.
Sounds good, said Anna.
Mo looked at his watch. It's lunchtime. Count me in. The kids walked over to the vendor and placed their orders.
Thank you, said Tony, taking his order from the hot dog guy.
We need to get to the lake show. What subway should we take?
Go down to 34th and 6th and then take a R uptown. Three stops to 57th Street, said the hot dog guy, handing Anna her order.
Then walk a couple of blocks over to Broadway and West 53rd Street. You'll see the Ed Sullivan Theater. You can't miss it.
Did you two get that? Asked Tony.
Get what? Said Mo, taking his order from the hot dog guy. Anna jammed half of her hot dog into her mouth.
Yeah, sure, she mumbled.
Never mind. I'll remember.
I'm going to try to call Mr. G again, said Anna. He must be worried sick about us.
Anna dialed the number, listened for a bit, and then hung up.
I got that stupid recording again. I wonder if something's wrong with his cell phone.
Maybe, said Mo, but there's nothing we can do about it now.
Let's go find Dave.
Yeah, let's go do it, said Tony. The kids stood at the subway entrance.
I guess this is it, said Tony. Let's go.
They descended into the gloom of the subway, bought their mentor cards, pushed through the turnstile, and waited for the train. A few minutes later, the ground rumbled with a strong wind whooshed through the waiting area. A train rushed into the station and screeched to a halt. The door slid open, and people surged on and off the train.
What train did the hot dog guy tell us to take? Asked Tony.
This is the F train.
Anna shrugged her shoulders.
Let's take this one. It probably doesn't matter. The kids hopped onto the crowded train.
I guess it's only standing room, said Anna, grabbing a pole.
What stop did the hot dog guy say? Asked Tony, grabbing Anna's backpack to steady himself as the train took off.
The fourth?
No, the fifth, said Mo as he grabbed a pole.
Did these ever crash?
Tony thumped his forehead with the heel of his hand.
Please, give it a rest, will ya?
The train thundered through the tunnel and screeched to a halt. People got off, people got on.
Stop number one, said Anna, as the train took off again.
The train rumbled for a few minutes through the tunnel and screeched to a halt. People got off, people got on.
Stop number two, said Mo, letting go of the pole to adjust the straps of his backpack.
The train lurched forward, causing him to lose his balance. Then someone bumped into him and he fell to his knees. A hand reached down, grabbed his, and pulled him up. The girl had the skin color of chocolate and vanilla mixed together. Long, silky black hair cascaded around her pretty face. Her big brown eyes sparkled with mischief. She smiled at Mo and held up his stocking cap.
Sorry about that. I think you dropped this, she said, as she stuffed the cap into his coat pocket.
Mo's face turned reddish brown.
That's okay, he said as he looked down and kicked the pole with a toe off his shoe.
It wasn't your fault.
Look at that, Tony interrupted as he elbowed Mo in the ribs.
There's a pigeon on this car.
Mo looked down. TB, you're telling the truth for once.
He's so cute, said Anna. I wonder how he got on the subway.
He thinks he's a passenger, Tony said, reaching towards the pigeon.
Do you have a Metro card, little guy?
Just as Tony was attempting to pet the pigeon's head, a train pitched and Tony lost his balance. He frantically frailed his arms to keep upright. And as he windmilled his arms, one of his hands lightly whacked the pigeon's head. The pigeon panicked and launched himself into flight. He wildly beat his wings and bounced around the subway car like a steel ball rocketing around a pinball machine. People ducked, people screamed, people pushed and shoved. After a couple of erotic loops around the car, the pigeon stopped his flight in midair and made an emergency landing on Mo's head. The pigeon flapped his wings on a couple of times and then folded them next to his body. Then Mo flapped his arms wildly as if he were going to launch himself into flight. Help! Get me off this thing! He's going to kill me! A little old lady stepped forward and pushed Mo's arms to his side. He won't kill you, Sonny, but he did poop on you, she said, as she lightly cupped her hands around the pigeon and pulled him off of Mo's head. She then cooed at the pigeon. I'll let you go at my stop, you poor little thing. Mo surveyed the pigeon damage. Disgusting! Then the train screeched to a halt. Stop number 5, said Tony, as he grabbed Mo's jacket collar and tugged it. This is where we get off. The door slid open, and the kids joined the stream of people that surged off the train. A minute later, the kids popped off the subway station. Mo took a tissue out of his coat pocket and wiped off the poop. Totally gross. I'm never riding the subway again. Actually, I'm never going to come to the city again. This isn't the Big Apple. This is the Rotten Apple. Chill, Mo. A little bird do never hurt anyone. So, where to now? Asked Tony, pointing out the sign. We're at Houston in 2nd. We're supposed to walk somewhere over to somewhere over there, and then we'll be there, said Anna. Remember? Whatever, mumbled Tony, as a puzzled expression blanketed his face. This just doesn't seem right. The girl with the brown eyes popped out of the subway station, detoured around the kids, and headed down the sidewalk. She stopped, turned around, and smiled at Mo. Then she turned and headed back down the sidewalk. The late show is that way, said Mo, nodding his head in the direction of the girl. A taxi zoomed past. The driver honked, swerved to the side of the road, hit his brakes, and screeched to a halt. He put his car in reverse, backed up to the kids, and rolled down his window. Hello, kids from Kansas City. Raj, surprised to see you again. Hi, Mr. Raj. We're surprised to see you, too, exclaimed Tony. What are you doing all the way over here? Raj asked. We're looking for David Letterman, answered Mo. You not find the Letterman yet? You need ride? No, thanks. We just a couple of blocks away, said Tony, nodding his head to the right, so we can walk. Raj looked at Anna, and concern washed over his face. Tears all gone now, Angel? You better now? Yes, Mr. Raj, Anna answered with a big smile. Thanks for asking. You still have Raj's phone number? Yes, I do, said Anna, patting her coat pocket. Right here. Good. Remember, you call Raj any time and I can help you, okay? Raj said. We will, I promise, said Anna. Okay then, best taxi driver in New York City, go back to work now. Be safe, kids from Kansas City, said Raj. He put his car in gear and pulled into traffic and joined the flow of the cars rushing down the street. Amazing. I can't believe we saw him again, said Anna. Yeah, it is amazing, agreed Mo, as he looked down the street in the direction that girl went. So, what now? Tony shrugged his shoulders. What do you think, Anna? Anna shrugged her shoulders. Who knows? Maybe Mo's right about the late show. Could be. Let's go. The three kids took off down the sidewalk. They passed a sign attached to the side of the building that read, Eat at Halvaldi's. Straight ahead, 102nd Avenue, the best restaurant in Little India.